Take a seat, Simon. And can you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2? And if you don't have a Bible, I think there's some people ready to give you Bibles. Just raise your hands. It's fine. Am I muted? Okay. Okay, you hear me now? Yes, it's good. Yes, Ephesians chapter 2. Yes. And if you don't have a Bible, there's like Phil waiting to give a Bible to anyone. Yes. And we are reading from verse chapter... From verse 11. So, Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 11. And it's on page 1174. Yes. Those who don't know. Are we all there? Good? All right. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and with commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built to become, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray before we hear more of this. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come here and hear your word. So, Father, would you please speak to us? Would you please teach us the value of the unity that that Jesus has given us? And we ask this in his name. Amen. See, sometime in life, we fail to understand the value of the thing that we have. You see, we have, think of something like time. You see, we have a lot of time and we don't always make the most of it. Or think of money. You see, we don't see the value of the money that we have, so we will spend on useless things until we end up broke. But think also of things like family. You see, when we have family around, we don't understand the importance. You see, so we end up neglecting them. We end up treating them like they will always be there. See, we fail to see the value of the things we have. You see, and as Christians, what do we have as Christians? What is the thing that we have? We have unity. See, unity between us as Christians, between us as a church, and unity with God. But what does unity mean? See, unity means oneness. It means being made one with God. So having unity is being made one. Sorry, having unity is being made one. So you see, you bring several separate things, and then you make them one thing. So as a church, we are one with each other and one with God. And we don't always understand the value of this unity that we have. And we think that unity is just an option, or it's just one of the many things that comes with following Jesus. But actually, what we're going to see in this passage is going to show us that that unity... It's going to show that unity is the purpose of the gospel. You see, the reason why Jesus left heaven, came on earth, and died on the cross is this: unity. Let's have a read at the half of verse 15. His purpose. That's Jesus. Was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. So you see, the purpose of Jesus was to make one new humanity out of two groups. So you see, there were two separate groups, and they have been made one, unity. This is the purpose of the gospel. And this is what we see in the entire letter of Ephesians. You see, this unity between Jewish people, those who are born by blood in the law that God gave to Moses, and the Gentiles, those who are not Jews. The Ephesians believers, see, they were people who gave up their old way of life. You see, they used to be worshippers of a goddess called Artemis. They used to practice witchcraft and all kind of things. But when they became followers of Jesus, they left all of those things behind. And you see, outside of Jesus, in their native culture, these guys were everything that a descendant of Israel could not associate with. And in this entire letter, Paul explains to them that in Christ, Gentiles and Israels, they are sharers of the promise of God. They have unity in Christ. And Paul stresses the need for them to make every effort to keep the unity in the Spirit. And in this part that we are reading today, Paul explains to them that unity is the purpose of the gospel. And he gives them three things. And he gives them three things in order for them to fully understand the value of unity. And the first thing they need to take a look at is life before and after unity. Somebody clicking? Ah. Oh, well. Next one. There we go. So the first thing, the life before and after unity. Like, I don't know if any of you are into, like, health and, like, weight loss, going to the gym and all kind of things. Like, did any of you ever had, like, a personal trainer? Like, believe it or not, I used to have a personal trainer. Yes. And one thing that they like to do, they like to show you how your life was before you started training with them, and how your life is now since you started training. You see, they will probably tell you things, I remember before you started, you couldn't do even 3 push-ups. You couldn't even lift like 5 kilos. Like, you were a loser. But look at you now, running all around lifting weights with your shiny muscles. Okay, that's probably an exaggeration. But personal trainers make you take a look at your life before and after you train with them, so you can understand the value of this training that you are taking. And this is what Paul is doing. He's showing the Ephesians their life before and after the unity, so they can understand the value of the unity. And how was their life before? Have a look at verse 11. Therefore,
Remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done by the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners of the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. So Paul reminds the Ephesians who they were before they trusted Jesus. And who were they? Well, they were not in Christ. They were separate from Christ. They couldn't be part of God's people. They were excluded from citizenship in God's people. They didn't share in the promises. They were foreigners to the covenant of the promise. They had no part in God's work. And this was their life before unity. But how is the life after unity? Have a look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, so before, the Ephesians were separated, excluded, foreigners from God. But now, after knowing Jesus, they have been brought near. And what brought them near is the blood of Jesus. See, if you're here today and you are a Christian, and you probably feel like sometimes, you know, like doing things like, you know, going to church, mixing with other Christians is too much effort or is a waste of time. Maybe because you don't connect with people. See, the people are too different. Nobody understands you. But remember what you really were before knowing Jesus. You had no part. You were separated. You were excluded. You were a foreigner. But you have been brought near to God. And you see, when you see other Christians or people at church, they might not be who you want them to be. See, they might not be the people you feel comfortable with. But if they are people who are willing to sit down and pray with you or to speak to you from the Bible, to open the Bible with you, this is a gift from God to you. This is one of the privileges that comes with the unity. And it might look like nothing to you, but the blood of Jesus have made this unity possible. So to understand the value of unity, we need to take a look at our lives before and after the unity. That was the first thing. But the second thing we need to take a look at. Again. In the back, can you? The second thing we need to take a look at. No, that was so quick now. The second thing we need to take a look at is the peace made for unity. Look at verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Paul says that Jesus is our peace. See, he's the peace of Israel and he is the peace of the Gentiles, of the non-Jews. And what Jesus has done, he has taken Israel and the Gentiles and he has made them one. He has united them. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. See, and this is a very brutal picture. Like, I know to some it's just words, but let's think of this wall of hostility. Let's think of this barrier. You see, think of something like the apartheid in South Africa. You see, over there was a barrier and between white people and between everyone who is not white. So if any non-white person cross that barrier, if they try to go to the other side, what would happen to them? Maybe they would have been shot, beaten, or attacked by like angry dogs. And this was a barrier full of hostility. Between the Jews and the Gentiles, there is a barrier, a wall, even more hostile than this barrier in South Africa back then. That wall was the law that God gave to Moses. It was the consequences of the law. See, because of the law, Jewish people couldn't mix with anyone who worshipped other gods. if you were a Jewish guy and you did the regular kind of things that an Ephesian guy would do, you would have been stoned for it, like stoned to death. But look from verse 14 to 15 again. For he who has made the two groups one has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandment and regulations. On the cross, Jesus set aside the law. And set aside means cancelling or abolishing. So he has abolished the law. And of course, it doesn't mean that the law is no longer true or is no longer valid. But it means that the consequences, it means that the consequences of the law have been abolished. So that's what Jesus did on the cross. In him, he took the consequences of the law. Jesus has destroyed hostility to create unity. And read the rest of verse 15. No, we see the purpose. So his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death the hostility. So by making peace, Jesus created a new humanity who has peace with God. And the peace they have with God, that unites them. In verse 18 it says that they both have access to the Father. They both have access to God by one Spirit. So you see, the same Spirit that is at work inside a Jewish believer is the same Spirit that is at work inside a Gentile believer. And this is the purpose of the gospel: unity by the Spirit of God. So now how do you view church unity? How important do you view it now? Because this is why Jesus died for. Yes, he died to save people from their sins, so that they won't go to hell, so that they will know God. But the reason why he did all this, why he has achieved all this, is for this unity as a church. And see, and how can we see that, how can we understand the value of this unity? It's by taking a look at your life before and after this unity. By taking a look at the peace made for the unity. And the third thing is by taking a look at the purpose of unity. Press in the back. Press in the back. Oh, it's not around, sorry. So it's me. I'm the problem. Yes. But yeah, unity needs a purpose. Like, unity without purpose is not really unity. Like, I don't know if you guys are into, like, police actions, comedy movies, like I am. You know, stuff like Rush Hours, Showtime, Ride Along, and these kind of things. Maybe it's just me. Like, but the usual storyline in those movies, see, they always try to pair up, like, a super experienced, faithful police officer with a random guy who has no clue about what he's doing. You see, and at the start of the movie, their team doesn't do well. They fail pretty much everything because they both hate each other. And this team has no purpose. But you see, but at some point in the movie, something happens. See, whether it's somebody's kids being kidnapped or whether it's them getting fired when they're about to get close to the case. But you see, but at this point, they become a real team with a purpose. They're like willing to die for each other. The church is united for a purpose. As Jesus brings people together and makes them one, he gives them a role. He gives them a function. Look at verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizen with God's people and also member of his household. The result of unity is the Gentiles being no longer foreigners, but fellow citizens with the Jewish believers. See, together they are members of God's household. You see, and this is the purpose, this is their function. being members of God's household. You see, they are unified to become a church. And I know when people think of the church, they often think about a building where people go on Sundays and some people sing songs and one guy preaches. But the church is more than that. Have a look. Have a look at verse 20. What the church is. You see. So God's household, the church, is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. See, the apostles and prophets, they are the people who spoke the word of God that Christians put their faith on. So this is the foundation of the church. And Christ Jesus is the cornerstone, the one who gave his life to put everything together. And this is the church. See, it's more than just a building when people come to it. But also look at verse 21. In him, the building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the church. So you see, so the church is not the building where Christians meet, but Christians are the church. Christians themselves are the building. And what kind of building they are? And that's what we see in verse 22. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The purpose of unity, the purpose of Jesus bringing people together, is for them to become a temple, to become a place where God lives by his Spirit. If you are here today and you are a believer in Jesus, this is the unity you are part of. This is your purpose. This is your role, is to be a place where God lives. And you might want to question yourself, like if you are the dwelling place of God, if God is supposed to live in me, does the way you use your time, the way you use your body, the way you do things, does it reflect this? Maybe there are some thoughts or words or actions that you might need to confess to God. But also, as a group of Christians, you see, when we get together, see, does the way we behave, does it look like the dwelling place of God? See, are we concerned for each other's relationship with God? Are our words encouragement to keep trusting Jesus? Or are our words a distraction from the gospel? Maybe you're here this morning and you are not a member of the church. See, and I'm not talking about having a membership in Silver Street Community Church. But I'm talking about, I'm not talking about coming to church every Sunday. I'm not asking if you are from a Christian family, if you are from a Christian culture, if you go to a Christian school. I am asking you, are you a Christian? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Do you trust in Jesus for yourself personally? And if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, let me tell you that you don't have the unity that Jesus offers. You haven't been brought near to God. You are still far away. You are still excluded. You are still a foreigner from God. And it means that you are still under the consequences of sin. And the Bible says that we will be condemned for all the sin we have committed. That because of the sins we have committed, we will go to hell, eternal punishment. And that's the reason why Jesus died on the cross. You see, he took the consequences of sin in him. All the punishment that we deserve, he took it on him. And when you put your trust in him, you are forgiven. You are free from the consequences of sin. You are reconciled with God, and you can enjoy this unity that Jesus died for. See, you can be someone who take a look at your life, and you see that now you belong to God's people. You belong to God. That's where you are. See, you can be someone who see the peace that Jesus has made for unity and say, hey, he has made this peace for me. See, you can look at the purpose of unity and see that your purpose is to be a place where God lives. And this is the value of the unity that we have in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage that we have looked at today. We thank you that through Jesus, you have given us unity. Father, we confess that we don't understand everything from your purposes. We don't understand the value of the unity that you have given us. Father, would you help us to take a look at our lives before and after the unity, to take a look at the peace that Jesus has made for this unity, to take a look at the purpose of this unity, so we would understand the value of this unity. Father, would the ways we use our time reflect this unity? Would the way we treat each other reflect this unity? Would our words, thoughts, and actions be encouragements to follow Jesus? And Father, if there is anyone in this room who hasn't accepted your Son yet, would you have mercy on this person and bring that person near in the unity that our Savior has made for us? Let's pray before we